Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Zelda Podcast, Episode 5, Leave No Survivors. I am joined by Ryan of Game Essays. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here. Always down to talk some Zelda, so I'm excited.
You're going to have a fun on this one, I think, for sure. Well, welcome, mate, and the Bread Pirate himself. How are you, mate?
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here. I make videos about pirates, bread, and Zelda.
You do, indeed. And we're going to have, I've got their shows brought up and queued up on Safari, because I'm on Chrome now here. But folks, you are looking at two of the, and I get annoyed and I'll probably get very angry, most criminally undersung Zelda creators out there. This whole show, you might have thought you're just, oh, this is just the Zelda podcast. No, this whole deal is I'm live streaming essentially to just funnel everyone who hears this on all the different platforms we're on, funnel you all to these two incredibly worthwhile and additive, that's the keyword, additive creators, which is when you experience and dive into their content, you literally, like nutrients, it's like you can extract more from the thing you love, which is Zelda. And I just want to thank you both. I'm so glad I have the opportunity to be able to do that and just be like, hi, thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. Like, it really, really adds so much more to the experience of us being a community and enjoying these games. So had to be said. So for both of you.
Thank you so much. That's very nice.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I am very glad that that went smoothly and no one was like, I'm just going to be very self-effacing now and say, well... No, I'm very
well,
glad.
You know, I'm not actually that great.
I'm not that great. Yeah, exactly. So, Game Essays, how long have you been doing it for, mate?
So I've been creating content since 2020 for Zelda specifically. I've dabbled in different podcasts and stuff in the past, but stuck, you know, had a few ideas kicking around in my head for a long time before I finally decided to dive in. And originally I'm called Game Essays because I was planning to do video essays on multiple games, and then I realized most of the stuff I have to talk about is usually around Zelda because that's my favorite game series, so I've just leaned into that.
Who blames you?
Who blames you indeed. Right here, folks. So you're looking
at the Legend of Zelda.
I'll see that he came through. He snuck through. Yeah. But yes, I'm going to be presenting them now. Well, dude, for someone who just started in 2020, you're up and running. And I want to say this is you have obviously TBP. What do I call you? Do you have a shorter name that you, or Bread?
You can call me Bread. Most people on the internet call me Bread. Outside of the internet call me Burton. But either way.
Okay. All right. Well, since we are both on and off the internet at all times. Whoa, game trip. I will call you Brent. No, I'm kidding. No, I tried to combine
Brenton.
The two.
Brenton. Something like that.
Exactly. Good choice of font on this one, Ryan. Love it. Game Essays. Beautiful. Vibing it. And mate, I love this here. Your editing style is, I mean, also Ryan Brent. Brent Ryan. Like, right? Had you guys met? Had you interfaced and sort of engaged with each other before? Or
oh, actually, I'm awfully surprised, Ryan. I've never seen your channel before, which shocks me because like I love looking for small underrated Zelda content creators, and you look like you're right up my alley. So I'm going to have to check out your stuff.
Oop, did I?
You gotta. And so now I have to. Okay, why am I not signed in? Honestly, yeah. No, obviously subbed to you both on both of these. And yeah, so there you go. Ryan, you heard all that. Hopefully there wasn't an audio issue.
I might have froze for a second.
So oh, no.
That's okay. Well, old Breddy, Breddington, was just in the middle of just loving on you, giving you lots of sugar. Just saying,
yeah, oh, I don't know if you heard it, but I was saying I usually am pretty good at keeping up with smaller content creators, and I'm surprised I haven't found your channel yet, but I'm really glad that this podcast has brought me brought attention to you, because now I'm going to have to subscribe.
Excellent.
I appreciate it. I've definitely seen a few of your videos. Always enjoy them. Yeah.
Oh, no way. You talk about the trading cards too? I'm looking at your channel now on my side screen. Oh, I was going to make videos about that. Now, it's all ruined. It's all ruined. I can't do it anymore.
I can't do it. It's not going to happen. Nah. This is the kind of thing you want, though, is the like minds. And I just sensed, I was like, okay. There's a reason why he's available. He is available. Let's bring him together. I'm so glad. And the vibes just are just worth it. Even this far, we've barely crossed 5 minutes of the show, but already. So yeah, no, that's really rad. And both of your styles are so funny. Like essays, you got this longer format thing going. Both of you have kind of, I mean, yeah, you've with Bread, I want to say, dude, the editing. I'm just loving on your editing a lot. If this is all the Zelda podcast ends up being, because I did this a lot with Hyrule Gamer, I was like, you guys are always pumping out content, but this, I want this to literally be the green room, like this green screen. Actually, by the way, I took a few minutes because I put a green Zelda shirt on, but it keyed out. Ooh. So I need to go darker shade of green. And even this one's like partially keying out a little bit. But I want this to be like a recovery spa for like all Zelda tubers, like who just can come out, like whether it's Zeltic or whoever, and just riff about where things are at behind the scenes as Zelda tubers or Zelda tubiers. Oh, I don't know. I just thought of the word luthier. And I'm like,
Zeltubers is one that I like to throw around a lot, although Zeltuber? That one hasn't really caught on in the community yet.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, I know, like the Pokemon community, they got Poketubers, and that's just stuck, and everyone's all in on that. But yeah, we need something for Zelda.
Oh, we'll think of something.
Yeah,
we will. We will. Now I have to give. Obviously, you guys are so in depth with what you do, and clearly, it is one of the most exhaustive and populated, you know, scholarships or whatever. Like we have this with the Dark Souls. I started Topic Network in 2015 with Bloodborne, and clearly it's just run off with, like, there's a whole scholarship around. I mean, you can get a degree in Miyazakiology right now at this point. So both of you are to some degree involved in that whole curriculum. I'm serious, like, you guys are all are faculty to me. I consider Professor Bread, Professor Ryan, like, you all specialize in different, yeah, exactly. That's right.
Where's my ties? Where's my bow tie collection when you need it?
Right? You should, exactly. But each of you do have, again, I'll just bring up you guys' latest videos. Again, if I'm showing these people to you guys for the first time, enjoy. Is this to the audience I'm saying this?
A new Zelda trailer just dropped, and I found 88 details that are worth taking a closer look at. But some of these are pretty spicy, so make sure that you have your Zelda pants on. Let's begin.
Let's make sure that we all have our Zelda pants on in life. That's important.
I am wearing pants right now. That is okay. The first step.
Ryan, Ryan, can we have a pants update from you, please?
It's sweatpants. It's sweatpants.
Thank you very much. That's been a Ryan pants update for you all right there. So this guy, and as soon as I saw it, and by the way, would you like Breadzy? You know, you like Banksy, but Breadzy.
That's good reference. Like, nice work.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. This is where I came across you so and so you. I was just Zeltic-ing as we all do. We're all Zeltic.
Of course. We're all Zeltic fans in one way or
another. We're all on that Zeltic. Sorry. Excuse me. Not making light. But I did see your comment, mate, on old mate's it was something to the effect of, I love all these Zelda tubers, you know, breaking down this stuff. And then you chimed in with, but like, the Bread Pirate too, right? Which one is
No that? Way. I did that as like a joke. Somebody was saying, like, I love all these new Zelda YouTubers getting in on this.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the Bread Pirate, right?
The Bread Pirate, right?
And so the Bread, right? And then actually I found like two or three people subbed just because of that one comment, because they thought
just
it was
because
funny.
Of that comment.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is, I'm going to obviously search for it for a little bit, not too long, but I will post it on the Instagram just so that we get a sense of the historicity here. But yes, Ryan, that's how I came across Bread, is people were talking about, like, oh, I love all these channels kind of breaking down this content whenever it comes out. You know, new trailers, they tend to kind of create, you know, Conrad from Commonwealth Realm. I honestly imagine, because this man is insane. I mean, like attracts like. I see him because I'm doing this thing for the rest of my life where I'm talking about every topic ever. Diehard Zelda person since back in the 90s. But this Conrad really makes us all look like just simpletons. I mean, this man, he just over and over and over. Like, what is he made of?
The fact that he makes so much content, or like the way he analyzes it? Like, in what way are you saying this?
Yeah, right. Well, I actually say this as someone who, when there was like a cutting board came out, it was like the Tears of the Kingdom themed cutting board. Immediately, this dude is like, here's my breakdown of the symbol right here. Boom. And I thought I was being quick over on the Instagram of the Zelda podcast, which, by the way, Bread, me and Ryan are about to shame you because where the hell is your Instagram, bruh?
Oh, I have one, but it's like, it's not a Zelda Instagram. It's just a like personal Instagram. You could look it up. It'd be let me see if I can find it.
Let's do it.
Instagram.
Got to be on the platform. Right?
It's Bert Brewster.
Bert Brewster.
Yeah. Now, this is like my so like when it comes to YouTube and social media in general, I have like two branches. I have my Zelda branch, which is where I make money and I do my full time job, and then I have my goofing off branch, and this is my goofing off real life branch.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, so like, everyone watching this here, now,
like Reds and my pet rock, Oliver.
Shouts out to JonTron, who will eventually get on the show at some point.
Does he have a pet rock as well?
He does. Rockington is from back in the day. He doesn't have. It's a JonTron deep cut. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was originally going to plan me and Ryan on just shaming you a whole bunch for not having an Instagram, but you do. So it's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wait, we could rewind. I don't have an Instagram.
Yeah, I don't have an Instagram at all.
I left it. It's not in my drawer either.
Where did I put it?
I have to be shamed now. Oh, no.
Yes. Now, both of you, just from being on the show, even if you don't, whatever, Patreon, we have this thing where you jump on Patreon, you can join, talk about all the shows, and I just sort of open up the coffers of all of Topic Network forever. But even just this connection point we've had on the show, I'm going to start slowly following you guys on all of our networks. We have 600, because again, I'm crazy.
600 very networks?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
like 600 social media accounts?
Yes. Like I said. Crazy. Not proud of it. But this
are
is
you a bot? When
how do you do with 600?
It's my version of Candy Crush. So Naruto, Evangelion, Gargoyles, True Detective.
Holy Electric. Cow.
It's just really easy on Instagram to manage because of the square format.
That's
it's
a good great. One. Frasier, yeah. That's great.
Oh, it's later this year, Frasier, season 12 in September. We're gonna talk about it.
You're ready to go.
We're going to, by the end of this episode, folks, we're going to find a strand of connection between Zelda and Frasier.
Yeah.
Believe me. Sorry, we just did it. Seattle Tower. Towers, the Sheikah Tower. I'm serious.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Hey, baby, I hear the Kahiri are calling.
So I guess you laugh in the face of the phrase spreading yourself too thin, I take it.
it is absolute algorithm suicide, and I'm all about it. Because the thing is, once you hear about it, it's like, that's one Australian crazy guy doing all that topic stuff. And then we just hang out and talk about Dune and Nolan and all this fun stuff. Kojima, Avatar, we've really like breached through. By the way, I'm going to give you guys an exclusive preview on an episode we're going to do about the weird connections between James Cameron's Avatar and Zelda, not just the Na'vi shared thing. Little teaser right there. Bam. We good. Yeah, there's a weird connective tissue between the two, but getting back on topic, we do technically want to talk about that so-and-so on this episode, and I've been teasing it very daggerly, I think, on for you, Ryan, I think on your community tab, I was like, we're gonna have a good time, or something like that. So Ganon, I want to talk about, and I want a little bit come to Ganon's defense, because some people have a problem with this guy's voice, but I don't.
Oh, the voice is really cool.
I fucking love
it. Trashing it. It's trashed it in your life,
Ryan. Okay, guilt cam. There we go.
I will say, like, immediately, I wasn't sold on it, but I think it's still too early. Like, I need to hear more before I can fully, judge the opinion, because it could definitely win me over.
Yeah, no, I get that.
We all kind of in our own heads for so many years kind of have our own version of Ganondorf's voice. So just to hear it, it might take some getting used to. So I will say initially I wasn't impressed, but I want to reserve my judgment until the game comes out.
Yeah, power to you, Ryan. I feel like that's a very fair stance here, right?
Yeah.
You got to hold your judgment until the game comes out, and you can have like an initial thought, and nobody's going to tell you that's wrong, but don't make that like your... your identity for the character now. Don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you gotta have some nuance in there. So
be willing to accept maybe a slightly different interpretation than you thought it would be.
Okay. But no, this is the internet. We're supposed to be very close-minded, very intolerant. Yeah. So oh, I think you guys maybe just
begin. Yeah, it's the worst voice ever. It's,
all right, we need to.
It really just sucks.
Thank you. And we need to just, Ryan, you're a hater-ass hater, and that's it. And I'm kidding. Another thing about TPN is I am like the most anti-drama guy. We don't have like spiky takes at all. We always solve it within the episode. No one's like here getting all heightened or like, I hate this because we just love the vibe, the mellowness. So we don't even attract traffic that way. I just try to make nice enough thumbnails and see what happens. You guys are killing it with thumbnail game, by the way. Very, very good. Very impressed. But speaking about being impressed, the reason why Ganon's, I mean, it was like a hype point for me. Like, it's getting a little bit, you know, poked fun at. Again, it's early days, but for me, when I heard Ganon speak, that was my moment in the trailer of like, you know, because I'm a Dunbluth kid. I know about hammy, Secret of Nimue kind of weird, you know, over, you know, cartoony kind of narration. And again, we've had this sort of voice in mind somehow of like what Ganon would sound like. And I think one of you, yes, I think it was you, Bread, talking about Matt Mercer, correct?
Yes. My theory that I heard on Twitter is that the voice of the Ganon that we're hearing is Matt Mercer from Critical Role.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that the theory goes that like he's played Ganondorf before in a fan film, and he is a full-time voice actor and has done video game voice acting a lot. And he also lives in the area where Nintendo would be hiring voice actors. So it would just pan out that he would be the guy that they go to.
And old mate Bredzy here even brought up a freaking clip within your amazing breakdown of your 88 things, which was incredible, which we might bring up later. So I can do like we can do the director's commentary. I think that's what I'm going to be like. Hey, guys, do you want to do a director's commentary of your videos? You guys make the video, then you come here behind the scenes to actually like, well, this is what I was thinking as Ryan of Game Essays when I was writing this video.
Actually, it's funny. I just saw something interesting in that kind of regard. There was some guy I was watching called Any Austin. I'm gonna toss his name out there. Nobody knows who it is. Right. Nobody cares. But he is a YouTuber that I've been following for like 6 years on and off. And he did his own DVD commentary of his videos. Where it was 2 hours long. He just went through like 3 or 4 of his videos commentating on
it. Does he do the beautiful, like weird in the weird places, like the weird in obscure places?
Yes, that's the guy.
I love those videos. I love
it's
those
so
videos.
Good. It's so good. And he's reaching 100K. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah.
I used to watch him when he did his Twilight Princess Egg Busters videos where he was hunting down glitches and figuring out what's real or not. Yeah. No, his DVD commentaries are like way down, have barely any views, but I was listening to them and they're actually really interesting.
Excellent.
I love this guy.
Well, now thank you. This is the rest of my day. This is Sunday here in Australia. After this, I'm going to be chasing up Any Austin. So thank you, dude, for sure.
Yeah, he talks a lot about the liminal spaces, things like
that.
Which
he doesn't call them liminal spaces. He likes to come up with his own terminologies for everything.
But it's like first time I heard that word was from him. But it's like I always like had that concept in my mind of what a liminal space was, but I never knew there was actually like a name for it. So yeah, great, great channel.
Love it. No, that's amazing. And well, as long as we're talking about people to check out, why not? Because who knows what kind of crazy concatenations can happen from here. But yeah, his name's the internet Pit Stop.
Oh, I've been watching him too.
He's great. Excellent. Yeah, he had a video circulating on Ueda, and we have the Ueda podcast where we spoke with Nick Suttner, who actually wrote The Last Guardian behind the scenes book, and also this other book for boss fight games, just breaking down each of the colossi and like, you know, looking into the literary influences and stuff like that. So we are the place where it's like you go to the Ryans, go to the Bredzies. I'm just calling you Bredzy now. And then for everything like
this is what I do now.
Yes. I'm seriously going to build a whole mythos about you, and then people will be like, okay, so you're Banksy, right?
Bread pirate lore.
Because and he's a pirate because he's operating outside of the law. So Bredzy,
he's only operating outside of the law in his vandalism. He needs to steal if he wants to be a pirate.
That's true.
Sorry, us pirates are very exclusive about who's allowed to be in the club. Okay. So it's like,
all right, understood. We should probably move on because the pirates, the pirate brethren are actually watching.
Yeah.
So that's Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, turning 20 years old this year.
No and freaking
talking
way.
About it on the Pirates podcast. And guess what? On that whole show, we're just going to be talking about Wind Waker. Anyway, so this is him. This is he. Ganon. Here we go. Oh, actually, not Pikmin 4, although I love Pikmin. See, you might be like, Albert, will you start a Pikmin podcast? That's where I draw the line. It has to be something that I could see myself having. So for that, for example, the basket we'd put that in is the Nintendo podcast, which we'll be talking about on for the Mario movie in April. So I might pester and send you guys an email like, hey, Ryan, hey, Bredzy, you want to talk about the Mario movie? So I might do that.
How long are each of your seasons? I'm curious.
For the show, for the podcast, you mean?
Yeah. Just, I'm curious, because it's like you're already moving on to the Mario podcast at that point. Will the Zelda thing be going on at that point?
We are already at, we're actually just at the one season, and the one season is the Eternal season. It started in 2015, and that's it. We're just on one long season. And it's a heat map-based system, Redzi. It's like, for right now, obviously, we have The Last of Us. We're doing after shows and deep dives of The Last of Us. But here's the thing is, it's so funny. These two, Last of Us and, you know, because they're a video game adaptation, right? What's happening now is you're hearing people saying, well, if they nailed it with Last of Us, let's try with this. And not to kind of just take a freaking hard turn pivot, but I love this for our shows. Let's do a quick crazy roundtable of like, we're about to step into the post Super Mario movie world, which that fucking Super Mario movie looks so good. That viral commercial of the actual in-world Super Bowl trailer. Did you guys see that? Of like,
was that on the Super Bowl as well with the plumbing?
Yeah, the plumbing ad.
I did not know that was in the Super Bowl at all. I did watch most of it, but I must have Super missed Bowl. That commercial, whether it was at the end, beginning, or during halftime.
We're not like the others who get all the fame. When you think you're in trouble, you could call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Thank you, Super Mario Bros. It seems like the only thing you haven't drained is my bank account.
Bank account.
For super service, call or text Super Mario Bros. Plumbing today.
Perfect. There are already so many Easter eggs I know about this trailer. There's so many. I watched it afterwards. I didn't know it was a part of the Super Bowl. It's crazy. Did you guys call the number?
I haven't called
the number. No, I did hear that it works, though.
You call it, if you call the number, then you get like the Mario Bros and Luigi, and they're like on the phone and they're like, hey, sorry, we'd like to help you out. We're trying to one up our business, but we got a lot of calls on right now. We can't get to you. You should try and use our text message service instead. And then you use the text message service and it like links you to their crappy 90s website. And,
oh my God, I need that.
And it's awesome. It's so fun. It's so fun. I love this whole idea.
Well, you know what? Again, we are not just a Pokemon series being made, right? That's actually happening. It's going to be a continuation of the Detective Pikachu kind of deal. It's happening on Netflix. It's going to be RJ Palmer, who did a lot of those real world Pokemon designs. He's involved. And you know, you just know that the discussion is being had of like, well, we're now entering a phase of these video game adaptations really like people enjoying
Tom Holland. Here we go. Tom Holland.
A lot of people like it was rough. And but for me, it would be more something in this kind of vein. Something where you're talking animation, something where you're honoring the actual existing. I mean, the best thing for me would be to do like a Mobius style 2D thing that evokes those early like manual illustrations, which I love. And
oh, I would love that. Yeah. I mean, you could also do something in the animation style that you see at the beginning of A Link to the Past, which is very anime Studio Ghibli feeling.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, a Ghibli, I kind of overstate how much a Ghibli Zelda thing would just, it would shock people. I think that'd be, you know, I think someone had a heart attack in the Avatar at the cinema. And they died. I think someone will probably die if they watched that in the cinema. But I think, I mean, it could easily, I mean, Ghibli, they adapt source material. And, you know, there was that little tease of Grogu, of like doing something with Star Wars, but gosh, I really hope that I live and all of us live long enough to see a full-blown, Spirited Away, budgeted kind of, you know, Princess Mononoke, for it to come full circle with this Mononoke-ism. Because you could kind of see, especially if they keep it to the duology, I mean, Commonwealth is talking about this trilogy thing of three, like this is the second chapter kind of thing, because it is very dark. It's playing on that sort of Empire Strikes Back, like the dark chapter. So I guess I'll finally release it to you. So let's go round table on a, let's go, and like the thing that's probably going to happen is an animated series, because the series format really works for video games. I don't think movies are the best for video games. So let's do a roundtable on that. Brad, what do you think with Zelda in the next 5 years? What do you reckon?
I want a remake of the Zelda TV series. I want a lot of corny quotes. I want them to bring their kids on the writing team again. And I want to hear the line, "Excuse me, princess," at least three times each episode.
Excuse
me, princess.
Okay. And Ryan, with a serious answer, please. I'm kidding. Do whatever you want.
I might have cut out for a second. Could you restate the question?
Oh, just apologies. Next 5 years, what is your Occam's razor? Like, it could actually happen. Like, if you really think about how well Last of Us is doing and how we have the God of War freaking series coming from Amazon, and we have Tomb Raider coming from Amazon as well with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, like Zelda, that's part of a discussion happening right now. Next 5 years, what's the actual shape it could take, Zelda? And let's go animated. Forget about live action. Animated.
Yeah. I know. I would love to see an animated movie. I feel like it would probably be something like Ocarina of Time, just because I feel like it's a fitting story. Even though like Skyward Sword would be like the true beginning, I feel like Ocarina of Time, it's just probably one of the more well-known stories that I feel like could really work as a movie. I would love to see that. But any Zelda story, as you know, adapted into an animated movie, I think the Studio Ghibli style would work perfectly. But however, even if it's a 3D animated movie, I would love to see anything like that. And I think the Mario movie will do well, and they might be looking at Zelda. I think it would be a little bit trickier to adapt. Just how do you handle Link?
Yeah, the aesthetic has changed so many freaking times in this series. I mean, which one do you choose?
I would love to see any
Breath of the Wild now. We have to choose Breath of the Wild because that's the iconic one now.
It's true.
But. Interesting. Thank you. Very valid points on both sides. And let me tell you, if I were to like put chips on it or whatever, it would be, and see, oh, what's the bet that if I click that, it's actually not, you know, clickbait. Jesus Christ. My goodness. You know what? I actually think a Breath of the Wild situation, because of just how visible it would be, is probably the way. It's nuts. I part of me really wanted to say, well, Ocarina, obviously, but now like the kids, the munchkins,
the best-selling Zelda is Breath of the Wild by a pretty wide margin now.
It dwarfs everything else. In the community right now, the YouTubers have to appeal to the Breath of the Wild audience if they want to get views in the short term right now. If you want to get like long-term growth, you might go for like these videos about older games, but it's not going to be like lightning fast videos and views and whatever. It's going to go way slower. That's just how hegemonic this game now is in the eyes of the community.
Ubiquitous.
It would be interesting on how you would tell that story, because it's kind of like you have all this stuff that happened in the past, and then Link's just kind of doing his own thing, and then he goes to Hyrule Castle, you know? Like,
what was the thing? I don't think it would be a story about a Zelda game we have. It would be a Zelda story about something that's never happened in one of the games.
Yeah, it could be like a side story with like Breath of the Wild Link.
Yeah.
And I can get behind that. And let me say also with this Mario movie, it feels a beautiful kind of poetry connected to, like, say the Mario movie is Mario 64. I think the Mario movie is going to do for the Zelda movie what Mario 64 did for Zelda 64. It came out first. It kind of was that testing ground, that proving ground for a lot of these ideas. And then Ocarina came, you know. So then it kind of makes you think, well, even if they don't adapt like Ocarina directly, there's a beautiful kind of parallel happening across time of of sort of Mario opening the door and Zelda walking through it, you know, in the realm of film, I think will be very, very interesting. So I love our impromptu tangent, yo, to the freaking possibility. And it's an increasingly real possibility. I mean, we could be an E3 or two away, or a San Diego Comic-Con or two away from an announcement of something. How did they announce the Mario movie? Did they just drop that?
It was on a direct. It was a direct. Yeah, it became a meme. Immediately, because they were just showing actors that were going to be playing everybody, and they didn't show any of the voices.
Wait, I'll do my best, Chris. I'll camera on me. Well, I'll do my best, Chris.
Chris Pratt.
Zoom. Can one of you do like plucky Nintendo Direct music in the background? I'm kidding. You don't have to. I grew up with Mario and playing with the Koopas, and he was just really. I love Chris. Like, he's lovely, but he was just fit. It's like he was caught off guard on that stream when they were actually asking him the questions. And I don't doubt that he did play it in the arcades, but it just sounded like, did you play in the arcade? It just sounded a little bit reticent. And yeah, but I think he's gonna do a good job with the film. You know, hey, what's everyone's roundtable on Chris Pratt as Mario? Let's go, Bready.
Yeah, we haven't really heard a lot on him, but I have a lot of faith in Chris Pratt.
Yep,
he's done a lot of good stuff. And it might not be the Martinet, I think that's his name, Mario, that we usually have grown up with and are used to, but it's just a movie. We're going to have fun with it. Get into the spirit of things. If you go in being a Grinch about it, you're not going to enjoy it.
Very beautifully said. And yourself, Ryan?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think if it was Charles Martinet, it's a little too much. Like, it works for Mario when he's doing like small sound effects here and there, but for it to do that voice for a whole movie would have been a little extra. So I think Chris Pratt's will be a little more subtle, and that's fine. I feel like the other cast members fit like much more, but I'll see with Chris Pratt. All the other voices, all the other casting, like that totally made sense to me. Chris Pratt was the one like question mark, but so far it seems fine. So I'm sure he'll do great with it.
Yeah, it's nice. Well, it'll be a more natural voice. It's not going to be like super in your face. Yeah, that's a great point, Ryan.
Good vibes. I absolutely take both of your points and appreciate them. But speaking of voices, are you ready for this? I'm very proud of this segue. Ganon's voice, which is where we began.
That was a nice segue.
Thank you very much. I really, really like it. And I'll just play it now. Oh, there you go. Sorry, before that, I have ADD. It's probably why I have the network. Ryan, did you call them frog bats? You did.
I thought the bats, like their heads, they look kind of so like good. Frogs to me.
I love it.
Unbelievable. I can't believe you say this.
Well, I can't believe you say this.
It's a good memory.
I love it. It stuck out. Shouts out to an Otachi reference, which I think the frog bats are actually, if you may have think you've seen such a creature, yes, Otachi from Pacific Rim. I think it's a little bit of a shout out to him, and Pacific Rim spending 10 years old this year, and we're going to be talking about it on the Pacific Rim podcast. It's going to be fun. But yeah, don't you think? I mean, I'll bring up thank you. I love Pacific Rim. And hey, wait a second. Divine beasts, giant mecha things. There was like a mecha at one point. Who knows? I love one thing with the Topic Network is you find all these crazy, unexpected connections. Like, we were just on Last of Us, right? And the lady who plays Melanie in the show, she was in Peter Jackson's first film, I think, or one of his first films called Heavenly Creatures. She plays Melanie, this crazy, or Kathleen. Melanie Linsky plays Kathleen. And The Last of Us Part 1 released at the same day as The Rings of Power. September last year. It's like useless but fascinating pieces of information.
20 minutes of useless information. It's like those videos you find.
Yeah, it's what we trade in here.
Useless information. I considered making a video like that at one point. I decided against it because I didn't think it'd be as catchy as like 20 facts you didn't know. But
yeah, those are the ideas you send me, Freddy. You have the nutrients. You and Ryan, you create the protein. I'm here giving the people the Fruit Loops, the stuff with no value. No value.
So good. And here it comes.
Rise, rise, my servants. Sweep over Hyrule. Eliminate this kingdom and her allies. Leave no survivors.
So where is my drop there? Where's my infected mushroom remix? I made this request on the Tears of the Kingdom subreddit. I need someone to isolate that. I don't know if you guys know music people. I'll shout them a PayPal or something.
Oh, I mean, it already exists.
It does? Did someone actually broke down the...
Somebody separated the... my arm's really weird. Nice.
Seriously?
Somebody separated the voice from the rest of it. They didn't add any music to it afterwards.
Oh, okay. All right.
But they separated it so you could edit it that way.
All right.
If you would like to. And it'd be very easy now.
We are...
That was Troll Squad 57 who did that.
Troll Squad 57. Well, I might give it the most roughest of takes. So I've just subscribed to you, Troll Squad. Love and light to you. But yeah, there was this thing back in the 90s. Do you guys remember? Oh, you guys might be, I think you're definitely younger than me. But in the 90s, there was a program called Eyewitness. You guys remember the Eyewitness videos? No? That's okay.
So it was this, I'm from 2000s.
Oh, you're from 2000s, yeah. So basically, there was this very 90s-tastic TV show. So here it is. I'm just making like lots of 30-year-olds like smile right now.
This theme sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That part sounds very familiar. That part.
Exactly. You probably heard it sampled and stuff. Well, basically, someone did a remix of that. And I need someone to do that as they did with the Ganon. I just need you to... This is a little bit of a... And hey, Eye of Truth. It's relevant. So someone take Ganon's quote and turn it into... That's what you need to do.
Very niche.
What's going on here? Am I right?
Probably get someone on Fiverr to do it.
I totally could.
People on Fiverr will do anything.
All right. That is my official request to the community to do that and make that happen. So the reason why Ganon, not just because of the amazing dubstep infected mushroom remix potential, that whole intro with him like rise, you need to, again, it's getting overridden by all the sort of like, oh, the voice quality, but there's a thing throughout Tears of the Kingdom that obviously it's this thing of Ganon, like Ganon coming back, like Ganondorf, like coming back, and this thing of rising from the dead, rising from the past. There are so many, and we have to get you guys' takes on this. There's so much discussion about this idea of him not fucking around. Like, usually Ganon is defeated, you know? And one of the theories I put out is that there's a bait and switch going to happen with Tears of the Kingdom that Ganon wins super early on. It's like a Thanos kind of situation. And a whole bunch of the series is going to be this, you know, it's like Tenet, you know, he's reversing the trajectories of these chunks of masonry and you can like ride them up to the surface and stuff, but I think that's going to apply. It's going to be the sort of the series kind of return to the sort of Ocarina style time loop stuff. And I don't know how much Brad or Ryan, do you guys remember? I don't know, it's super early in the 90s, but the trailers for Ocarina of Time, apart from the word,
I've watched some of them, yeah.
Yeah. Did they actually tease the time traveling story in those trailers? Like that you would
hardly
be going
at all. I mean, the box art did.
Exactly. So kind of want to get you guys' takes on the idea of like Ganon straight up winning, like he's back and he's it's not a, it's like the whole idea is of the whole like game is to be going back in time to try and like stop what happened at the start of the game from happening. So what do you reckon on that? I'll throw it to Ryan, why not?
I don't know if they're going to go the time travel route.
No time travel? Okay.
Yeah, I think definitely, like you said, where Ganon's kind of winning early on, I think that's definitely going to be a thing. Because in Breath of the Wild, we're kind of like in that post-calamity world. But aside from like puddles of malice and stuff around, it doesn't feel like Ganon is like actively taking over Hyrule, whereas I feel like this game, it's going to feel much more like he has a stronghold over Hyrule, because there's malice spewing out everywhere. The enemies are probably going to be tougher, more aggressive. I mean, we saw how intense the Blood Moons are. So I feel like the world of Hyrule is going to feel even more dangerous. Like they'll probably want to replace that looming threat that the Guardians were. Like, they were terrifying. So I feel like we might get different enemies that are going to feel just as terrifying. So Ganon will definitely be dominating, but I hope they don't go into time travel, because Zelda's done enough time travel for a good while.
The well is dry. Bread, give me your hot take. Do you believe the time travel well on the Zelda series is dry?
I've been using the wrong mic the entire time. It sounds way better, doesn't it?
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you sounded great. But what do you think?
No, there's no freaking way I sounded fine. Okay, wait. Sorry. Just now noticing that my mic got unplugged. Ugh, so sad.
Ryan,
you honestly didn't sound bad.
I did not sound bad. That is unfreaking believable. Anyway,
I'm telling you. What did I tell you at the StreamYard? Literally, they must be like slaughtering. I don't know. They must be doing mass ritual sacrifices, because everything always works on StreamYard. It's crazy. I literally thought you were plugged into with a fantastic mic, so you're all good. Yes, time travel. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to have time travel. We haven't seen anything on that yet. If it is, it'll be super isolated. I would like to battle back on one thing you said earlier, which is like, you don't think Ganon will like goof around this time. I don't think Ganon goofed around in the first game. I think he was a mob boss in that game. That's just because I like reading into the manuals and what it says there. I wanted to like push back on that a little bit. So this would be the second time he doesn't mess around and he's like gonna kill everybody.
I just think starting as such a trailer and bringing out the voice, like, what does it mean for the game that Ganon, again, Breath of the Wild, we had Ganon like as a presence there with Calamity Ganon. We didn't hear a voice, not even in a flashback. So what I like to think is, especially with Nintendo, how they are so intentional. Like, the first episode of this podcast is called The Zelda Standard. It's like they set the standard. It's what, like, they're an unbroken chronicle of quality. And so then my thing is, like, how do they commemorate? Like, Final Fantasy X, when it came out, there was a sense that, oh, well, now we have these voices. And we're going to honor how crazy and brand new that is with gigantic. I mean, the difference from Final Fantasy 9 to 10 is massive in terms of scope, and like, you know, now there's no longer like painted backdrops and voice acting and just how much they took it to that next level. Well, obviously they introduced voice acting in the last one, but for like, what does it mean and how are they going to bring this thing of like, and also in the title, like, Bill Trennan was so reticent to talk about it. It's like Tears of the Kingdom, like, it's going to be so much evil, and he is evil. He's like a scion. He's the embodiment of that evil energy. And I just think we're sleeping a little bit on Ganon throughout our kind of circle of Zelda people. I just think he's gonna whip out some crazy stuff. It's people are talking about demise and stuff like that. So yeah, my vibe is. Oh, Ryan, you have a titter for us? Yes.
Well, I think the demise stuff is probably not going to happen. Yeah. I think people love to bring in Hylia and demise, and I'll never say never. It feels like that. I mean, the Hylia stuff could play maybe a role, but I don't think that figure, to go on a different tangent, the mysterious creature, I don't think that's Hylia. The demise stuff, I just feel like when they said his presence was disintegrating in the Master Sword, and then you put that sword in the pedestal, you go forward in time, he's gone. But we know the hatred, the curse, whatever, has been showing itself through the villains throughout the rest of the series. So I personally don't think demise will be a thing in this game. Could he be in the future? Sure. Ganondorf, I mean, he's definitely gonna have a presence, and I think it will be you know, we'll hopefully get more character from him. It's not gonna be quite like Wind Waker, but it'd be nice to get like more dialogue from him. I'm sure with the voice actor we will. But yeah, I think it's more of like a, we don't know what we don't know. We know Ganondorf's gonna be in the game, but we don't have enough to know like how much he's gonna do, what he's gonna do. Other than hopefully he's not just chilling in Hyrule Castle while it's floating the whole time, and maybe more is going on. We'll see.
Oh, I would love that. A villain that actually like interacts with us more. Give him with like the first time we got a taste of that. And I guess in Ocarina of Time, we also got to see Ganondorf a few times here, and then in Wind Waker as well. But like, it never felt like it was hands-on enough. I wanted more screen time, more.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, we never quite get enough to satisfy us, do we?
Yeah, those moments where they pop in, like Zant and Twilight Princess shows up, and like
Zant's a pushover. I don't want to bring like, him up.
I think that was something that was missing from Breath of the Wild, right? Was like, we're just kind of doing our thing until we're ready to fight Ganon. Whereas, you know, in Twilight Princess, you complete the Lakebed Temple and then boom, Zant shows up, like almost kills Midna. So it's like those kind of surprise moments. So it would be awesome for Ganondorf to show up in moments we don't expect him to.
Interesting. I believe that the reason why, I mean, and thank you for your riff, that's amazing. I think the and very additive, because now it's going to set every person who tunes into this off on their own little, actually, who do I side with, Ryan or Britzy with this? But let's offer a third thing here with Ganon and this figure here in particular. Nothing would make me more stoked and I love expansions to the lore. I remember in the lead up to like Twilight Princess, we saw all these, like it was honestly brand new visuals, really. And even goes back, it's like the tradition of the Dark sequel. It's like, and so far, the tradition of the Dark sequel has been upheld in that each time a Dark sequel comes, it's a brand new, it's like Termina, you know? And with like the Twilight Realm, it was really different, especially after the kind of the direction of Wind Waker. There was just the idea of like this Twilight alternate upside down kind of realm where there was these different beings. And I still think Twilight Princess's expansion to the lore is just so, so rich in terms of like, even compared to the lineage of other games. And everyone's, you know, thinking of like, this should be higher. This is that. I wonder if this is like a genuinely brand new race of like kind of interesting, cool, rabbit eared, weird beings who are here maybe in like a quasi alien capacity to like assist with, you know, they may be like a celestial kind of race. Cause the idea is that depiction wise, like petroglyphically speaking or whatever, they kind of look like they're like heavenly and coming from above. And especially like the robes flowing out kind of connotes someone descending. And the vibe that I get is that it's like, what if Hylia needed help? Like, what if there's an apocryphal thing that Ganon maybe, you know, scrawled away of a savior race or I would love for the Twilight effect to happen again of like, this is brand new lore, you know, and would love nothing more for this person to be an heretofore unheard of kind of element in Zelda's lore, and for them to be the crucial element that like Link has to find their powers and obtain their blessing and their abilities to defeat this now, you know, ostensibly like unstoppable Ganon, you know, like that. And that's why I think, you know, Conrad's going crazy thinking that we're going to go to outer space. I think it's less crazy than you think. Elden Ring, spoilers 3, 2, 1, ended up getting pretty damn celestial, if you know what I mean. So, and clearly the music also super inspired by Elden Ring kind of choral. Did you hear that? Ha, ha, ha. I was like, you are trying to be Elden Ring right now. So, but anyway, that's a whole world salad, and feel free to take it any direction you like. Let's go, Brezzy. What do you reckon? You're currently muted, but I can unmute you if you like. Yeah, cool.
You can unmute me. No. That's kind of scary. I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna mute again.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
You're fine. Anyways. You're fine. So, two things. One is potential for a kind of similar thing that happened with Twilight Princess of like a race that has just been there this whole time, that only because of the severity, it's like, if you're going to go Marvel analogy, like the Eternals didn't show up because the threat wasn't big enough. do you think there might be an element potentially of that person being depicted like the with the seven tears? Like, does it take the realm itself crying for these new celestial protectors to awaken and this new kind of strata that we haven't learned about? What do you think with that, Redzi? And I'll throw it to Ryan.
I guess that is that part one or is that part two?
Oh, that's part one, and I'll throw part two later. Yeah. It's best all to right. kind of separate them out. Yeah.
So, I mean, Nintendo has a love of just bringing up really great ideas and then dropping them after that game. So I'm just going to go on a limb and think that they're bringing in someone new.
Bringing new?
This is a new creature. We've never seen it before.
Yep.
And it's not connected to anything, but Zelda fans are going to try and connect it to other stuff anyways.
Rabbit Eared Aliens. It's all about A Link to the Past. It's all about A Link Between Worlds, excuse me. There you go. The rabbit ears. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm with the bread pirate on this one. I think it's something.
Thank you, Ryan.
Something totally new. You know, if because people love bringing up, it looks similar to like the Twilight or whatever. If there is any type of connection, it would be like a very small Easter egg, so that you know Zelda can make a great theory video about how they could possibly be connected. But I expect it to be something totally new. It could be, and what I would love to see is this kind of expand on kind of the lore behind, you know, Link and the hero, because we know this green energy. We kind of have like divided it up to see, like, we see all the technology with the blue we associate with wisdom and the Sheikah and Zelda, and then Ganon has the red malice, and it fits with the whole theme of power. So now we're seeing this green energy. So maybe, you know, how Demise is the counterpart to Ganon and all the villains, and Hylia is the counterpart to Zelda, that maybe this spirit could be connected to the spirit of the hero, or it's just these beings are associated with the trait of courage. It may not be directly connected to Link, but connected in some way. But to get more background on that would be really cool, because I think it's kind of like the last area they haven't explored with kind of the three pieces of the Triforce, you know?
Interesting. Okay. I think that's pretty good kind of riff off there between you. I want to actually now give back. You've given so much, brother. Let me give back to you. So two things. First of all, we're going to be sending the whole topic network you guys' way, because we're coming up to the end of the hour. Hey, we might continue. We might not. But have you guys heard of TVTropes.org?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It's amazing. How about you, Ryan? You heard of TVTropes.org?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're so great. So some people don't know. What is great about them is that it is constantly updated by someone. It's crazy. The level of granularity here, if you are big on these wonderful content creators kind of work of diving in, you know, sussing out like archetypes and like granular details, look no further. It's really, really fun. And I figured we'd grab like a random, it's still being built obviously, but you have Your Mileage May Vary, Nightmare Fuel, all this fun stuff. And so I figured we'll just spin the wheel and let's go. So the Master Sword is broken. Shards of Narsil, clearly a reference, I believe, to that Lord of the Rings kind of element. And then if you extrapolate from there, I mean, have you guys openly speculated on your videos before about like what has happened to the sword?
It hasn't particularly interested me yet. I can't begin to understand what's going on. I mean, we can now. Now we can, because we've seen it. We've actually seen it in the trailer. But like before that, it was like, anything could have happened. Who cares? We're going to figure it out when we get there. My speculation is mostly concerned with gameplay. That was what I was always interested in.
I'm so big on that. I'm a Legacy of Kain guy. We have the Legacy of Kain podcast. And I love the idea of like going through the land and not just reforging the blade, so to speak, because that, again, is something that is being introduced with the idea of the Blade of Evil's Bane being reduced to this kind of stump kind of thing. It was so important that, like, leading up to the recording, I was like, hold on a minute. I kind of want to, as we go along with whatever comes after Tears of the Kingdom, I kind of want to swap out that lower symbol for the podcast with, like, the most significant thing. Because with the Breath of the Wild, I believe the logo, it was just the flower. That's it. It was that was it. It was, you know, that was the motif. You know, every single, like, there's this theory that for all Soprano season, there's like a totem for each season. Like season one is the duck and season two is the fish and stuff like that. So I love that everything kind of gets reduced to an element or a totem, you know, and a theme, you know, a central thing. And the vibe that I'm getting, at least from Tears of the Kingdom, not just, again, the obvious thing would be like, oh, it's like, it's about maybe Hyrule being in it. I mean, this sort of thing is going to happen with like Stranger Things 5. It's like, that's going to be the most apocalyptically fucked up the world's ever going to be. I feel like, again, in my little theory there, it's the reason why they're being so cagey and coy. I have a weird theory that everything we're seeing is from the first third of the game. And we're going to go to these fucking bunny rabbit aliens' world. I swear. Like, why put restrictions on our speculation? Why? You know, that would at least, again, you can cut me off, but that would at least stave off these people saying like, well, this is just, you know, glorified DLC using the same map. Like, how does Tears of the Kingdom avoid that? How does it shake off that idea of like, well, this is just glorified DLC, like expanded upon, like just using the same map? What do you reckon? Ryan?
How they avoid it? Well, I think we can already tell there's been differences in just the standard Hyrule. So there's going to be a reason to want to re-explore all those areas. There'll be slight tweaks. Some places, you know, may not be as different, but it seems like whether we have to clear Malice out or whatever, or there's some reason, something we have to activate, that we'll have a reason to explore the surface. And then based on, you know, we see so many sky islands, so there's going to be plenty of stuff in the sky to explore. And then the underground we now know is a thing. We weren't sure if it was just going to be the intro video because we hadn't seen anything since the 2019 teaser, but now it's pretty clear that there will be at least some underground stuff. So I feel like we don't know how vast, you know, we don't know how many sky islands are going to be. We don't know how vast the underground is, but I think that will probably cover plenty of new ground for us to explore.
Interesting. And yourself, Britzy, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stuff about how the file size on this game is the largest that the Switch has ever seen, which is insane to think about. And that having an entire another world would definitely explain it. What will it be? It could be the heaven area. It could be this underground labyrinth. Maybe it's a little bit of both. It probably is a little bit of both. I don't imagine it'll be two areas that are the exact same size as Hyrule slapped into it, because that's a ridiculous amount of content, but probably enough that it'll satiate our $70 purchase.
You know, you won't feel like you've been, you know, you had your money, I don't know, just like swept from under you without recompense. No, I think Zelda is the series that is absolutely the most synonymous with bang for your buck. I mean, honestly, people are still finding unique ways to move through Breath of the Wild. So honestly, okay. I mean, I've explained this big kind of theory about aliens and stuff like that, you know, and again, you can screen capture me aliens, you know, it's bunny rabbit aliens. You can do that. But what I actually am like on a more serious and maybe more feasible note, by bringing in Ganon and by having this thing where, you know, Ghirahim and Zant and like this, we have these memories, as you guys, I'm so glad you raised that, is a more involved villain. And I would love for like rehydrated Ganon, as some people say, speculating that we haven't seen him yet, chases after you, is someone you have to regularly fight off, would be an interesting way to humanize Ganon, bring him to your level, and then now that you have this dialogue thing of him speaking, like making that threat all the greater. I mean, the Nintendo guys know that people play these games, I think, predominantly for just the video gaming aspect and like moving your way through the world, but I would love to see the Nintendo team like challenge themselves to really maybe get serious and like kind of interestingly dramatic with Ganon in this story. So just a riff that I had to share it.
Would love to see it.
You'll love to see it. I feel like that's my line. Wait, Ryan, you can't say that. That's my line.
That's your line? Guys, you've been
noted.
We're just about to cross the hour. And believe me, I know you guys have, I'm sure, plenty of videos. Actually, let's do a round table. This is for the all listeners, you know, pushing your prams or mowing your lawns or whatever. Now I'm going to let you into a teensy bit, if they're okay with it, if they give permission. Right now, Ryan, how many Zelda videos? What's your situation behind the scenes with what you are bringing to the people soon?
Like what I'm working on?
Yeah.
So one, I'm always doing a thing where I'm like reviewing, like I'm trying to review every Zelda game, and I have like a little score system. So working on that, Minish Cap is the next game that I'm playing for that. And then I'm also doing something where I'm timing how long it takes to get to the first dungeon of every Zelda game, and I'm testing.
That's a really novel concept. Yeah. I like that.
And I'm doing that, like, so Twilight Princess, I have to play that lovely intro twice because I'm doing GameCube and, you know, the Wii U editions.
You're doing them separately?
Yeah, so I'm doing the editions just to see, like, just to note, like, the differences. Like, you know, A Link to the Past on Game Boy Advance. I'm not doing every single version, but ones where there's, like, notable differences, because I wasn't going to do Wii, GameCube, and Wii U for Twilight Princess.
It's yeah, that's just, too much.
You know, and there would have basically been the same except for like the flipped map anyway. So so yeah, that's like the one I've been working on. So that'll be fun to see. You know.
Hey, you try know, we'll and have see. Fun with the Twilight Princess intro. I know a lot of people hate on it, but if you think of it, it really is a microcosm of the rest of the game with like you solve puzzles, you get to go to a dungeon, you complete it, and then you move on to the next one. I mean, that's really what the rest of the game is, so you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll by the end of this, I'll be an expert at getting to the first dungeon of every Zelda.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. That's such a niche reference. That's such a niche thing to be the best at.
Right? I'm vibing it. So was that something you've probably teased on your socials or whatever, or is that a freaking exclusive drop, as they say in the biz?
I've talked about it in my Discord. And you know, and I saw someone almost do a similar thing, and I've had this idea kicking around my head for a while, and then I saw a Reddit post where a guy was talking about how long it takes to like sword slash the first enemy in every Zelda, and I was like, all right, I better move on this now before someone else does it. So that's what kickstarted the motivation to start working on it.
Is this like the a touch grass run that I've been hearing about?
Yeah, I saw that too. That was another thing that I was like, oh boy, people are starting to think of these ideas, so I got to get this video out.
I have to applaud the both of you for existing in the space that you are. It is so it's competitive, but the thing is, because it's so you know, there's so much so many different takes that, like, we have one of the prospective guests is the Dadliest Man. And he just did, like, I'll just bring up his thing here. He's done very few videos, and only one of them is Zelda related, but it is one of the best Zelda videos you'll ever hear. It's him. He calls you like kids throughout. He's like, let me tell you about this, kids. Let me tell you about that, kids. And he's like recounting the story of Ocarina of Time as though he's your dad. And I just fucking love that. So that it really pays to dive deeper than like just dive deep into this, body of material that you're all adding to. And I hope, obviously, it's as you heard Ryan say, and I'm just kind of speaking to the listeners too, yeah, there's a sense of like, better get on that idea or whatever, but even if both, like, two completely separate people landed on the same idea, I'm sure there'd be different takes anyway. So you're kind of, that's sort of your sort of safety net as a content maker, is like, I am inevitably irreversibly or inescapably like unique because it's me saying this. And so then I, as like someone who exists in a very liminal space between all these things, because I'm just sort of putting all these creators together and having all these discussions, like, as much as I'm able to convey on behalf of your listeners, because a lot of your listeners and viewers, one thing I've experienced is they just kind of like and leave or watch and leave, you know? So you don't, maybe, I don't know if you get the opportunity to hear it, but I'm part of your audience, and I get to some degree speak on behalf of them. And let me say, so for both Game Essays and Bread Pirate, like, I'm your listeners right now, and I just want to say, like, thank you so much for making what you do. We really love it. Every time we see a new video from you guys, it just, like, it lifts the spirits. We get all cozy. We go get a blanket, go get a snack. It's like, it's an event. So when you click the publish button, you're making, like, uncounted number of people, like, smile and, like, celebrate, like, and get really excited. So I had to reflect that back to you. So I hope that's okay for me to say. had to be said.
Yeah, I'll grant you permission to say that.
Okay, all right. You can send me written. We'll sort it out. My people will talk to your people. Clearly, the legalities of my concern. Yep. So, but yeah, had to be said. Guys, go to the Bread Pirate and go to freaking Game Essays. If this is the only thing you took away from this tangent-tastic episode. Have you guys been on podcast before? I'm sure you have, right?
Yes, I have, actually. I have been on podcast before.
Excellent. How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I used to do a podcast with a couple of buddies. We used to talk about wrestling, and then we got burnt out on wrestling, so moved on. But it was a real fun time while it lasted.
I can dig it. And now what I'm just going to say this. So in terms of buddies and wrestling and stuff, we do this thing. It has Patreon there. It doesn't really matter, even if you don't jump on, whatever. We, Andrew, Andy, John, Franco, Whitney, Douglas, Robin, Mark, and you guys shout out your patrons as well, I'm sure, and Julia. There's a whole vibe with what we do here and what you guys are doing with your people that I'm sensing a kinship, and I wanted to highlight it. It is that it is basically just about hanging out and having fun in the end. And I am going to just bear you forth, even if you don't come back onto the show, which I hope you do, because it'll be good to catch back up on after, you know, Tears of the Kingdom. We live in a post Tears of the Kingdom release world. Even just like the opportunity I have now, it's like, go forth and just really like keep growing these like beautifully organically created like communities that you each have. You have this thing of each having found your own rhythm with your communities and your content. And I always know that those end up being the most worthwhile kind of like hubs to follow and like communities to become a part of. So yeah, gotta also give that. The love fest is kind of happening now. I have to listen. There you go. Do I have your permission for that, Brad?
You're gonna have to ask that question again.
Yeah. Oh, it was more of a statement, really. It was more. Just
then I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. See, that's there. We go. Now we got to the heart of it. But I suppose I should also ask before I just like completely tell everyone who's listening to go to you guys again. Did you guys have a fun time on the show? The craziness, every direction.
This was definitely crazy.
It was crazy. Okay. Well,
yeah, I had a good time.
It was a crazy absolutely time.
Excellent. Well, I will be spamming all 21,000 poor souls on the Avatar podcast and the whole network. I'll just be like, please go right now. And I want, let's see, ready? Let's bring it up. Because it is about this in the end as well. It's about the content, but I want Game Essays by the end of this. I want him to be at 5K. And I want Bread Pirate to be, get you to 90. Would you guys have, do you have
90? Wow. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Only 90?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not 100. Okay. We're not that close of enough friends yet.
I'll just stay down here.
But yes, these wonderful, amazing people. And I'm so glad you guys made the time. And yeah, as crazy as it was, sometimes, especially with everything's being, he's still down there, by the way, folks. he's great.
It's like Terminator 2 right now.
I'm still here.
Exactly. So you have plenty of like highly edited, organized, you know, additive necessarily. Like I said, this is Cocoa Puffs, this is Fruit Loops. But if you want to get fruity and fruit loopy here, or go loopy, then come and hang out on the Zelda podcast with the Bread Pirate and Ryan when you guys come back at some point. I think it'll be great. All right.
Be happy to.
Okay. I gotta get back from the closing part. Okay.
Guys, what time is it in your neck of the woods, Breadsy?
Ryan, I think it said that you're from Boston on Twitter, right?
Yes.
We're both EST. Yeah, it's 11 p.m. for both of us.
Guys, have an amazing, I think it's time for, you've earned a midnight snack. So go and do that. Big hugs. You're from us here in Australia. Do it. Absolutely. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, exactly. Get like a Zelda themed snack situation going. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. And I look forward to catching back up after the release. I think it'll be fun. See you guys.
Hey, later.
See you. Bye.